If you have your Bibles, I want you to be turning to the book of Psalms, chapter 139. Psalms 139. I appreciate the Lord's goodness and mercy that He has bestowed upon our lives. I just want to give you something that I gave the church Sunday morning. I'm not preaching from where I preach from Sunday morning. But I run across some things that describe Psalm 23. And before I read my scripture, I just want to share that with you. It was a blessing to my heart, for that psalm has been a comfort and a help to multitudes through the ages of time. The writer of these words says about the Psalm 23. He said, "This psalm brings food to the famished, freedom to the fettered, firmness to the fickle, force to the feeble, and favor to the faulty." This psalm feeds us in the green pastures and at a prepared table. This psalm leads us by the still waters and through the shaded valley of death. This psalm deeds to us daily goodness and mercy. This psalm reads to us our title to a mansion in the sky. This psalm only needs from us our faith and trust for permanent peace. He said the psalm lightens the pathway of the pilgrim. It brightens the highway to heaven. It tightens the hold of the Savior's hand on our lives. The psalm strengthens the saints all the days of his life. It lengthens his joy to eternal duration with its forever. The psalm urges our footsteps in the paths of righteousness. The psalm merges for us peace with power and protection with provision. And it purges us from every anxious care. The psalm brings sympathy and strength to the sorrowing. The psalm sings its way through the valley of the shadow of death. The psalm wings its way unto the Father's house, and it rings the bells of heaven in happy human hearts. I want to tell you, that's a mouthful. I thought about that when I mentioned goodness and mercy. I have a mother tonight who is in a nursing home. She has Alzheimer's. But it used to be her a practice on many occasions when she would go to the house of God and the Lord would touch her heart, she would quote the 23rd Psalm. And when she got down to that verse, about goodness and mercy, she quoted it like this. She said, "Surely, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. If you're willing and able, would you stand at the reading of God's Word? I do want to thank the Lord for the privilege of being back here at True Gospel Baptist Church. I appreciate the good presence of the Lord that I have felt in my own heart during these services. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being here tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm glad the Lord has something for us every time we gather together to God's house. The psalmist said, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." You can be seated tonight. Here a few weeks ago, the Lord spoke to my heart about a word in verse number 3. He said, "Thou compasseth my path and my lying down." I am interested in the word compasseth. It is a word that indicates an encircling. And tonight, I just want to deal with the thought of circles in the life of the child of God. Now, I understand that when Israel came out of their bondage and rebelled against God at Kadesh Barnea, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And if you look at their journey, they simply made a circle. That's not the kind of circling that I want to deal with tonight in the life of the child of God. That kind of circling never leads you anywhere. You just keep going back to the same place over and over again. But the word compasseth indicates the use of the circle in the life of the child of God. It gives the idea of stretching around and embracing the whole. It has the implication of enclosure and including in its meaning. And tonight, the word compass or compasseth occurs consistently in the Word of God. I want want you to think for a moment. There are many different shapes in our society that we come in contact with every day. And you'll find that we're acquainted with things that are square. We are acquainted with objects that are rectangular. Other objects are diamond shaped or triangular in shape. Some are hexagons, some are octagons, some are pentagons, some are trapezoids, but the circle is one shape that stands out from every other kind of shape that we have in life. For when you look at a square or rectangle, or even a triangle, the thing that is different about those shapes and a circle is they have points. They have corners. But a circle has none. And when you look at a rectangle or triangle, your attention is drawn to the outer edges, to the points. But when you look at a circle, your attentions are drawn to the middle. Have you ever wondered why they did not make a dartboard rectangular? They made it in a circle shape so you would look toward the center, the bullseye, if you please. And tonight, that principle should live in the life of every child of God. For you see, our lives should revolve around a hub. Our lives are not made up of outside influences and looking toward the outside. But our lives finds its strength and its source of help from the central hub of our Savior Jesus Christ. And we revolve around who He is. The Christian life should not be given its attention to outside influences, but we should focus our attentions upon the cross that our Savior died upon to save us from our sins. You can look all around. You can look at your circumstances. You can look at people. But tonight, what we need to do is to look toward the middle and look toward the cross. That's where our strength and our help lie. I want to mention two or three things tonight about circles. I want to look at our context tonight. He said, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways." I want to look at the circle of His greatness. The circle of His greatness. Tonight, I just want to challenge you just to meditate on how wonderful and how majestic, how great our God really is. Bible says that he compasseth my path, that is, in my waking hours, as I am traveling through life, as I am facing the circumstances of the day, as I walk the path, he said, you're compassing me about. And when I lie down to sleep, and I lay my head and close my eyes, and when I am the most vulnerable to my enemies, Lord, you're compassing me. Lord, you are there in my life. That is magnifying how great and how wonderful he is. I'm sure that for the most part tonight, you can remember watching old westerns, and when the wagon train was endangered by the approaching enemies of the Indians, you know what they'd do with their wagons? They would make a circle and take their stand against their enemies. And inside the circle of those wagons, there was a certain amount of security and safety that was experienced. Tonight, I just want to say I am glad that I can feel safe and secure. There is not a limitation to my assurance, but I'm glad I've got an eternal security. I have a never-ending assurance because I have a God who knows my path and knows my lying down, and he knows my ways. Bless his name. But I want you to look at this word here in this verse, compasses. When I looked up its definition, I was really caught off guard, because I thought that the word gave a picture of God encircling my life. And it does in the definition that I found, but it came about in a different way. For if you look this word up, it means to scatter or to disperse. It is a picture of someone winnowing the wheat. They are reaching down in the wheat with their pitchfork, and they're throwing it up in the air, and it is being scattered all around. And there is where the idea of being compassed or encircled by the greatness of our God comes from. But I thought that it would mean that God had set his post all around my life, keeping the enemy at bay. But I found out it's a whole lot better than that. I'm glad he's a-standing right there where I am, and he's a-strowing his greatness and his majesty and his wonder all around me. He's not standing on the outside keeping my enemy at bay, but he's standing right there where I'm at and scattering his greatness all around me and giving me blessed assurance. Oh, I'm so blessed. Amen. Aren't you glad we have a God as great as He is? Someone has said that God is great in His insight. Oh, you cannot keep anything from His knowledge. We cannot hide any of our ways from His knowing. The Bible said here that He searches us. He knows our down sittings, our uprisings, and He knows the words that are even in our mouth before we ever say them. He has an insight, and tonight He knows what's in my heart. He knows what's in your heart. He knows where you've walked today. He knows what you've had to face. He knows what's occurred in the past weeks, the past months, the past years. He knows what's out ahead. He has a great insight.
Yes, He does.
But He also has a great foresight. You see, He sees things before they ever occur. You say, preacher, are you sure? Why, yes, I'm sure. He sees it before it ever occurs. As I mentioned last night, He saw the lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, because He saw that man would sin in the Garden of Eden. And I'm so glad, hallelujah, He had foresight. He could see what lay ahead for our lives.
Yes, sir.
I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm riding with somebody that knows what's out ahead on the road. I'm glad I'm riding with somebody that knows where every crook can turn, where the bridges are out, and where the curves are sharp. Glad I've got somebody that knows what lies ahead. What a great God He is to me.
Yes, He is. Amen.
Then let me say, He's great in His oversight. Watching over. The psalmist said, I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Hallelujah tonight. The Bible said that His eye is upon the righteous. And His ear is opened unto their cry. And tonight, what a great God we serve. He knows what we're going to face. He's in charge of looking after our life. And tonight, we should put our faith and our trust in His abilities and His greatness tonight.
All right. Sure.
The circle of His greatness. But then I want to say something about the circle of His graciousness. In Psalms 5 and verse 12, the psalmist said, For Thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt Thou compass us as with a shield. The psalmist describes God's favor protecting us, preserving us, being a shield to our life, to ward off the darts of the wicked and the arrows of temptation. He said, with favor thou will compass us as with a shield. I'm interested in that word, favor, because it speaks of God's grace. It puts an emphasis on his goodwill and pleasure. It speaks of his acceptance and his unmerited favor bestowed upon mankind. I'm glad I can identify with his favor tonight, for there was a time in my life when I was lost and God favored me. God graced me. God took pleasure in me, who was unlovable and unloving and unlovely. I had nothing to offer. I had no goodness of my own to cause God to even look my way. But God chose in his graciousness and in his favor to help somebody like I was. Hallelujah tonight. What a gracious God he is. The same is true in my Christian life. I do understand that God blesses righteousness and God curses unrighteousness, but tonight none of us have earned any entrance into the house of God tonight. The psalmist David said, I enter in according to thy mercies. Not a one of us deserve to be here tonight. But aren't you glad God, in his favor and his grace, allowed us to congregate together one more time? But I want you to look at what this word favor means. If you look it up in the Strong's and some of the other Hebrew dictionaries, you'll find that this word favor strongly represents a concrete reaction of a superior to an inferior. It is God who is the superior, reacting strongly and deliberately and definitely toward somebody who is inferior. God just didn't take a shotgun of grace and just scatter it about. Oh no, God reacted deliberately and definitely. He aimed toward you. He aimed toward me. And tonight, he is our superior. We don't deserve what he's done. We're inferior to who he is. But I'm glad he reacted to us in a favorable way. But there's something else about that. This word also represents the position one enjoys before a superior who is favorably and graciously disposed toward him. Have you ever worked for somebody that did not treat you guarantee you, if you've ever done that, there would be several mornings that you felt like, well, why even go to work? All I'm going to hear is what I haven't done. All I'm going to hear is criticism and ridicule. All I'm going to hear is cussing. All I'm going to hear is murmuring and complaining. They want to hire enough people. Our boss man, our boss lady won't put enough people in the jobs that are needed to produce what they feel like they ought to produce. And you don't have a desire really to go to work when you have to work under those kinds of circumstances. But that's not the way that the Lord makes you and I feel tonight. I'm glad when you go to his house and you come to his place of worship, you're not going to hear criticism and ridicule. You're not going to hear a tyrant reigning over his subjects. No, he's a God who loves us, a God who cares about our lives. See, the picture here is not of a tyrant wielding his rod and beating his subjects into obedience. No, that's not the picture of the word favor tonight. The picture of the word favor means that he is gracious to those that are under him. That servant, that inferior does not feel fear, but he enjoys safety. He doesn't feel sadness. He has joy. He doesn't feel unrest. He's got peace. The inferior feels secure, safe, satisfied, and completely confident before his superior, who is gracious and favorable to his life. Great God, tonight, I'm glad we can come to his house and not feel like he's wielding a sword and he is being mean and malicious, but I'm glad we can come to his house. He's a smiling at us. He loves us. We can have joy. We can have peace and satisfaction in our life. Talking about the circle of his graciousness and the circle of his greatness. And tonight, that should cause us to experience the circle of our gratefulness. For the psalmist said in Psalm 26, verse 6, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. There should be in us an appreciation and a gratitude to our God because of what he has done in our life. We shouldn't enter in proud and haughty. We should come in with a spirit of humbleness and joy and gladness, showing our appreciation and our gratitude to God that he would even save a sinner like we. We should compass his altar. That That is, we ought to spend time around his altar. I realize tonight this altar is not the altar he's talking about, because Christ is our altar. This is just something made by men's hands. But I am here to tell you, it's a good place to come and stay a while and tell the Lord how much you appreciate what he's done in your life. Hallelujah tonight. Oh, I remember when I was lost and God came to where I was at. Oh, bless his name. There ought to be some appreciation in our hearts. Would you stand? Would you come to the piano? The circle of God's greatness. The circle of God's graciousness. Tonight, instead of looking around at everybody else and looking at our circumstances, we ought to focus our attentions on the central truth that he is our Savior, that he has died in our stead, and he is worth serving tonight. While the sister plays, maybe in your heart you feel like the psalmist, you ought to compass his altar and just thank him for what he's done in your life, showing that you appreciate what the Lord has done. Now, if he's not speaking to you about doing anything, don't do one thing. But if God has touched your heart, for you see, he encircles our lives and he helps us along life's way. And I bless his name. I don't know where you're walking, but he does. He has insight to our feelings. He knows what we are in the secret places. He knows what we are in the public places. Maybe there's others that ought to come tonight. The Lord is speaking to you. Would you listen to him? Let him help you tonight. Brother Mike, would you lead us while we all pray tonight? Oh Lord, thank you. As a 9 and a half year little old boy, you came to where we were at. How great and how wonderful you are. And Father, I pray that you'd encourage this people, put a spirit of appreciation and gratitude in their lives day by day. Help them to love God's man and to love God's word and to love God's house. Lord, thank you that you compass us about, that you encircle our lives. I bless you. I thank you for your protection and your preservation and your, Lord, provision. I bless you and I thank you. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Oh, thank God. Oh, yes. Thank God. Amen.